Hello, and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LDG. As this week, Emma Hayes made her debut officially on the touchline for the U.S. Women's National Team. It's only fitting that we talk about it in this episode, after the United States had held two shutouts with multiple goals scored in their respective friendlies this week against South Korea. So without further ado, let's get right into the episode. So obviously these games are very important from the U.S.'s perspective, as they're the last chance that Emma will have to assess the team, and honestly the first chance she'll get firsthand to assess the side before selecting the final 18 for the Olympic roster. But I think the biggest part of this camp was really bringing the team together. Obviously, with the Olympic pool being so small in regards to who you can actually bring, Emma has always had a small vision of the players who were in contention in my eyes, because she clearly has a group that she is confident with. I think that the Olympic roster is actually quite easy to pick, even though the pool is incredibly deep. Although that's very contradictory, it's because Twyla has held a pecking order that is clear, unlike what we've seen in previous regimes, and Vlatko's. So I think that's been really great for the U.S. side, because there's been a clear understanding of who's coming in where, yes, but also who is the options for these roles. And I think this side is really going to be youth heavy, which is why leadership will be so important. I think Emma's leadership is going to be really essential to this team, because at the end of the day, there won't always be an Alex Morgan. There's not a Megan Rapinoe anymore. There's not a Tobin Heath or a Kristen Press anymore. These veteran players are done, and the reality is they've carried this team for so long in the media presence, and they've been stars on the field, but they've also had to do so much more off the field than a male athlete has ever had to do. And that's a problem that will unfortunately continue in the women's game, and it's amazing to see that these players in the future generations have continued to advocate for these issues, as seen with the Pride Month. Although there have been some slip-ups, I think, with the Corbin Albert situation, I think that this new generation is ready to take the baton, I guess, is the metaphorical way of looking at it, but we still need those veteran players. Those veteran players are so important to this team, and we need a leader. We need a coach who can lead this team through transition and almost be a shield for the players. These are young players. They're developing still. They're not these confident stars, and that's okay. We want them to become confident as fans of such an iconic federation who have these players have big shoes to fill. And so that's why having Emma as a coach, besides her incredible technical ability, which we've seen with Chelsea on full display, she's really done an amazing job making every player feel so special and talented. You can see it on the field. Everyone's playing with so much more joy and confidence. And Emma's just ability to dominate the media and take control. Her press conferences were just significantly better than Vlatko's. Vlatko lacked confidence. He lacked a plan. And that was evident on the field. But that lack of planning off the field was even worse, I think. And Emma's ability and clear-cut, concrete answers really give the fans a better perspective than honestly what it felt like Vlatko gave the players in his last regime. And obviously, this episode is not to put down Vlatko, it's to put up Emma, but to compare this job is to show how Emma's regime as the coach has been so successful already, even though she's only had two games at the helm. So moving on to some more of the game aspects, obviously Emma rotated the squad a lot. Only two players started in both games, which were Lindsay Harrington and Nyse Munger, who are two players who are definitely going to be in that Olympic roster. So happy for Jenna. She's really deserved it. I've talked in my last episode about her in that USA episode 64, I believe, which you should definitely check out because it's really amazing. I talked a lot about this camp, but also about the future of the team past the Olympics. This episode's going to be more focused on the Olympics in those last games. So yeah, check out episode 64 before or after this. They kind of cover different topics within the national team, so you can do that. Anyway, so moving along with this Emma storyline, Emma is just a leader. She's a person who will take control of this team. She is a She says it as it is, and I think that's the person that this team totally needs right now, and considering how Vlatko was almost just a weakness to the team. He never helped the team in the media. He set the team up to get attacked, and although that's not something that we see on the pitch, obviously, it's something that's so important, especially if such a young team. You want these players to just be able to focus on playing the game. You don't want them to have to deal with the burden and the spotlight that comes when you play for the crest of the U.S. team. And obviously, it's a lot to handle for such a young group, which is why Emma being the coach just is even better than what you'd expect. For Chelsea, she always had a lot of versatility and fluidity on and off the ball and in different roles in the game. When I say on and off the ball and in I more mean fluidity. Players are always making amazing runs, which is why a 16-year-old like Lily Johannes would get called up to this team. She plays with maturity well beyond her years, and her ability to always find herself in the pocket of space, always open herself up to a pass, which is something that, to be fair, Jaden Shaw also did a very good job during this camp, I thought, as well, is very impressive. I think that this new generation of players is so exciting, but Emma being under the control of this side is going to make it even better for fans and more rewarding when hopefully she leads us to the gold medal this summer. I definitely wanted to start this episode off talking about Emma due to the fact that she is the leader of this team and she's going to be the one coaching the team. Obviously, she's new, so that's like a big deal. But now we get to talk about the on-field play. Before you do that, though, I'd like to encourage you to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all platforms now, not just Apple, so you can listen to us wherever. I feel like that wasn't advertised enough by us. That's my bad. So you can listen to us wherever you want. Tell all your friends, even if they don't have Apple or they don't have a Apple phone, tell them they could still listen. We're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, we're everywhere. So tell them to listen because our podcast is willing for new fans. We love new fans. We want new fans. And we just want to make the game grow. So the more fans that it reaches, the better we can do at achieving that goal. So yeah, just like tell one friend about this episode, send them the link. You know, that's our little, I guess, TWSP challenge of the week. So anyway, talking on the field stuff, these games were definitely team wins, but there was still individual stars that really showed out. The first thing to me was that there was more solidity in pairings on the pitch. I felt like there was a lot more connections in these games, and it didn't feel like there was 11 great players in the team field. There was 11 great players that were playing as a team, which I think was something that was missing at the World Cup last summer. I think the Mal Trinso front line is solidified for the tournament. They literally are sick. I saw a funny tweet that my parents screenshot did to me about how it must have been horrible for South Korea's defense when you're losing and Mal, Sophia, and Trinity all come off the bench at the same time. That's crazy. And it really shows you, again, the depth that the U.S. has, which is extraordinarily stupid. And I think that that trio, even though they didn't start the second game for rest purposes, these are just friendlies. They don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's more about making sure we can pick the right 18 players and seeing everyone in the pool. So I appreciate that Emma was willing to give everyone a chance that was on that roster. So I do think that there's a lot of great options there, but I think these players are clearly the trio that Emma will want to work with. Moving to the back line, I think the Davidson-Girma back line has really been great. Girma obviously was going to be the future of this team. There's no doubt about that. And with full back options with the World Cup last summer, Emily Fox has seemed to solidify that role. Even though I do think that there's plenty of other options that should be given more chances, it looks like Fox in Nyswanger have sealed the fullback roles, but the center back role has been a little bit of a question mark of who's going to play alongside Girma. And I want it to be a left-footed passer, and obviously that makes you maybe think of Sam Staub, the player who debuted. And don't get me wrong, I love Staub. I think she's great, and I think she'll continue to do great things for this team in the future. But we need someone with more experience, and Tina Davidson is that experience. She's that girl. Right now, she's playing amazing. She scored 2 goals, both on corners and both headers and set pieces, which were both beautiful goals in different ways. One where she looped it over everyone, right, dipped right into the crossbar into the top right corner. That was amazing from way outside the 6-yard box. She is built differently. I've gotten a chance to see her more in person week by week at Gotham FC, considering that's my hometown club. I get to see those players most often. And even though that may influence my opinion a little bit, considering that she plays for us, it's really been so incredible to see her play. And it really shows the difference that a good passer in the back can bring you. And Girma is that as well. Girma is perfect. She's literally the center back that this team has been looking for, to, I guess, be the heir of that Becky Sauerbrunn role. And Girma is a leader back there, but so is Tierna. And I think the two of them together would work really, really nicely. And personally, I think both of those two played really, really well together. And that's the pairing that I think Emma will look to go with. I think the Saab-Sonnet pairing was good, but I don't think it was as lethal as what we saw with Davidson and Girma. To go off of what we were talking about a little bit earlier, the versatility of this team, versatility and depth often go hand in hand. hopefully on a good team. But just to focus on the former for now, the team has so many players that can play everywhere across the pitch. And obviously the prime example of that is a Crystal Dunn, who's played fullback on this team and obviously scored in that latter friendly against Korea on Tuesday. And she's someone who obviously exemplifies that, not to take anything away from her, but it's not just Crystal. There's a bunch of other players in this team that really embody that sense of versatility, which is why they're so impactful, and we can often rotate the side and put players all across the pitch, which is what makes a lethal team, is you have a lot of weapons, but those weapons can play everywhere. And I want to shout two other players. Mal Swanson, she can play anywhere across the front line. Obviously, she's played as a nine for the Red Stars, and we've seen her play amazing as a winger for the U.S. team, but I thought this tournament, this stretch of friendly, she really came into her own, and we got to see that Mal that we saw pre-World Cup again. I loved watching her kind of re-come into her own again. Obviously, getting an ACL injury is really, really rough, considering she also had, it was a patella tendon, actually, but she has had an ACL injury. She's had a lot of injuries recently, so it's so great to see her getting back to full form and fitness, and really has not lost a single stride of what made Mal such a special player in the past. I think that Shaw's versatility is a reason why she'll make this roster. She, in my opinion, is the future of this team. A hot take. I think she's infinitely better than Thompson just due to the fact that she can play everywhere across the front line, but she's also super creative. Don't get me wrong, I've loved seeing Alyssa Thompson come into her own this season for Angel City in more of a 10 role where she can have that fluctuation across positions, but I do think that Shaw is just a lot more of an established player. I think that Alyssa kind of lost form and never really got into form, if I'm going to be honest to you. With getting into that roster, I never really felt like she earned her place through work at the club level, whereas Jaden, who has played for longer at the club level than Alyssa, who I think should have gotten a chance at that spot on the World Cup, looking back in retrospect, but focusing to the future, Jaden's ability to be a creator but also to finisher is unheard of in the game. It reminds me a lot of what we are seeing Mal doing on this team. She can play as a player who can drop from the wing inside and play those through balls into Sophia, even though it wasn't necessarily a through ball. Her assist to the Sophia Smith goal, which is the second goal in the second friendly against the Korean side, was a beautiful play, and it shows how unselfish Mal is on that team with Jaden. I think the trio that we talked about earlier with Mal, Trittany, and Soph really has worked so much better when they have Shaw behind her. And even looking at that last game, Shaw did infinitely better when she didn't have Morgan on the field and she had a much more established front line with better partnerships. I thought the front line in the first half was empowering and fun to watch, but they didn't have the same partnership that we know and love with the Mal, Trittany, and Soph line that has done just infinitely better, in my opinion, over the last period of time, rather than the kind of ragtag front line of great players that we saw last game, but it just felt like there was no connections and, I guess, thread through the line in the match. I think that a big storyline going into this Olympic tournament is balancing the youth and the experience, because we know the future's ready. That's another storyline. I guess I spoiled a little bit. There's so much talent on this team. For Bahoon, who didn't even make this roster, was awarded the Rookie of the Month on the day I'm recording this, which is Thursday, June 6th. But I think even though Bahoon was just a training player, it really just demonstrates how there's a plethora of talent that this team has in for the next generation. The whole storyline of the U.S. falling behind and the legacy being lost of the team and the dominance, I think that was inaccurate, and that's been being demonstrated on the field. It's not like I'm just projecting that and saying that this next generation will do better, just give them time. They are doing better now, and I think that shows how investing in more international talent at the domestic level and the NWSL, which is where the three players I talked about in the front line and the two players in the back line I talked about all play, with amazing international talent coming in, it's really increased the level of competition, which has allowed players to be more prepared for international level, which I think is a really good point to make. Overall, I think that there's so much young talent on this roster, and it's easy to get carried away and say, like, Johanna should be in there, Hirschfeld should be in there, and don't get me wrong, they should definitely be in the conversation. I just want to also make sure, from a standpoint perspective of leadership, which we know is so important, that we don't get a roster that's so youth-heavy that we don't have the leaders that we need to carry through this team. I do love Johannes and Hirschfeld, and I think they will be key parts of this team after the Olympics. I just think, honestly, in my opinion, same thing goes for Staub. It's almost a little bit too late that they've introduced them into the team to really consider them, in my opinion, to make that roster. But then again, the future is ready. There is so much talent on this team that is just ready to come in, and to use the words that Lynn used in the documentary for the U.S. team on Netflix, is there's always someone waiting in the wings, incredibly talented, just waiting for you to slip up, waiting for you to get their chance. And I think that really shows how, in a good way, this team is deep. There's players behind players waiting for their opportunity, and that should be taken as a good thing. Healthy competition is what makes a team at the elite level that the U.S. Women's National Team has been held to in the past and is displaying currently under this new era with Emma in the helm is important. So, moving on, I think that the depth of this team really speaks to the future as being ready, because obviously veteran players like Becky Sauerbrunn, who's still playing at club level but isn't just playing internationally, like Megan Rapinoe and Julie Ertz retired. If you look at that last World Cup roster, a lot of those players aren't in contention anymore, which I see as a good thing, because let's be real for a minute, the World Cup was a travesty. It was a disaster. It was hard to watch. That team did not represent the U.S. Women's National Team in the way that we know that they should play. And that sounds harsh, but I'm going to be harsh because this team is harsh. The demands of playing for the crest of our country and for the honor that you have to represent not just the U.S., but the U.S. Women's National Team, who are transcenders in women's sport, period, not just women's soccer. It's really showing how this next generation is just eating it alive. And I think it's definitely important to raise our caps to the Megan Rapinoes, Alex Morgan, because without them, this generation would not be a fraction of how good it is, because Megan and Alex are the ones who brought those eyes to the game, and now it's so exciting that we get to see those eyes carry over the next generation of the Coy Bethunes, who maybe isn't here yet, but will be soon, and the Mals and the Trittanys and the Sophias. And I just think, as a super fan, obviously I know everyone, but it's so fun going to games and seeing all the young girls hovering over all the new generations of stars, which is to come. So that really shows like the depth of this team. There's players ready to step up. Obviously, Sophia is not a depth player. She's a star along with the other two I mentioned. But there's so much other talent that is just in the NWSL growing. Claire Hutton is another player who I haven't talked about as much. A lot of these U18 talents, they're really showing up in the NWSL, and that really is a great thing for Emma. It's making her job way harder in a good way. There's so much talent for her to deal with. But at the end of the day, we need an experience and youth balance, which is why players like Morgan and Horan and Rose, I've thrown in there, and Sonnet and Nair need to be on that roster, because even if they're not in the current form now to merit that, they have the experience at the biggest level, which is one of the biggest factors, in my opinion, when selecting a roster. I talked about how the other lines were quite stable on the pitch. The forward line, we know that Mal, Trittany, and Soph is the main group. Back line, it looks like it's going to be Nyswonger, Davidson, Girma, and Fox. In net, obviously, even though she wasn't at this camp, Nair should still remain, for a lot of U.S. fans, the number one candidate to keep that goalkeeping starting role. But the midfield, there's a lot of different options that this team has, and I wanted to go over them just to explain this side. So obviously, in this central defensive midfield role, we have players like Sam Coffey, Andy Sullivan, who have been on this team for a while, and then there's also Corbin Albert. So there's a decent amount of options on the side that can really look to make an impact in that role. And looking to a more attacking role, you have players like Ran, Lavelle, Shaw I'd put in there, Kat Macario, Bethune. So there's a lot of different options that this team has. And I think what's really going to be the key for Emma is to look at this club play coming up, because the whole group I just listed, except for Kat, has NWSL games. Horan as well. So Kat and Horan don't have NWSL games, which means that she won't get to see them at club level. But those are the midfielders will have club games. And we kind of know the deal on Horan. Kat is coming back from injury, so I hope she makes the roster at least as a reserve. Maybe I had her in my mock roster. I'll spoil the next segment in the team. But obviously, considering that she's been away from the side for so long, and this was her first start with the side on Saturday in more than a year and a half, so it's going to be a long shot for her to make the roster, if I have to be honest, even though she is still incredibly talented. Even though when you look in the midfield, there's so many different players, it's not the problem that we have if choosing the roster. I think choosing the roster is not going to be that hard for the midfield, even though there are a lot of great options. They've kind of condensed it. It's more, what are the best three? What are the three midfielders that are really going to dominate for this side? And considering that there's only a squad of eight, versatility should be at the forefront of Emma's mind in that midfield role, because midfielders are the ones who run the most. They have the most taxing job on the pitch. So the quick transitions that the Olympics has between games is not going to be beneficial for them, which is why having players on the roster like, for instance, a Crystal Dunn, even though she's not going to be probably listed as a midfielder, who can play in the midfield. Someone like Emily Sauna, who can play in the six. Having that, I guess, flexibility will make the rest job a lot easier. So even though this line isn't established, I do think I have an idea of who's going to make that roster, which is why I did a mock roster for the team, which we're going to do right now. So, yeah, let's just get right into that. So, obviously, Emma will have a lot of different opinions than me. I was choosing this a little bit out of illusion, but also out of, like, my personal opinion as a coach. As the mock coach in this situation of the US team, I tried to keep her interests in mind as much as possible. I went for Nair and Murphy as the two goalkeepers I chose, with Campbell as the alternate. Here's the reason why I did this. I love Jean Campbell. She's great. She's a good goalie. Same with Kingsbury. But I feel like the different profile that Murphy brings makes her a lot more of an interesting keeper for the side. As Nair is a similar player to both Campbell and Kingsbury. They're both shorter goalkeepers, good with their feet, good shot stoppers. Kingsbury is a little bit different. She's better in possession than the other two. But Campbell, I think, is a better goalkeeper than Murphy in some areas, like shot stopping. But Murphy's height and confidence on the ball is what makes her a really good candidate for this team, just because she is different to Nair. You want a little bit of different personalities, not just off the field, but on the field as well. You want different types of players to play. And again, considering the short time, you don't want the same kind of goalie on your roster. You want different kinds of goalies who could play against different teams. Perhaps teams that are better in the air, you'd opt for Murphy. But teams that are, I guess, more technical or, I guess, higher ranked, you opt for the more experienced keeper. So I think, also, just considering that the World Cup will be on the future of everyone's mind with this roster, the Olympics are nice. It's a tournament that the players love. But at the end of the day, on the men's side, it's a U23 tournament. It's obviously not on the women's side. It's a lot more prestigious of a trophy for the women's side. But at the same time, they still have to have the World Cup on their mind. So the U.S. team will not be prioritizing heavily this Olympic roster in regards to winning now, but also just to looking forward to the future and guess kickstarting this new leap into the next generation. Moving to the back line, for my left backs, I guess full backs, because it's not only left back and right back, because you can only bring six defenders. For my full backs, I brought Nieswanger, Kruger, and Fox. I've always been a super big fan of Casey Kruger. I just think her ability to win 1v1s is so good, and her outlet passes are great. She always breaks up plays, but then she finds a way to just get it to her midfielders and forwards so quickly and efficiently, which is why she's such a fun player. And considering that the U.S. front line is all speedy, not that those players don't have anything else to their game, but they do have that asset in their back pocket, which they should be using if they get the chance to counter. In this game, as we saw with South Korea friendlies, they used the counterattack and their pace of the front line to the advantage of the side. So that's why I think Kruger's best. I like Fox as well, but I think Kruger and Fox could fight for that right back spot. I think Nieswanger has solidified herself as the starting left back for this team. She started both friendlies, just like Lindsay Horan, the captain of the team. So I think that really is a big testimony to what Emma believes about the game of Nieswanger and how good she is. So I don't think that she'd ever get dropped. Girma, Davidson, and I threw Sauna in with Staub as the reserve. I like Staub's game as well. She's also quite similar to Davidson. Even though she's 27, she just got her first cap at the senior level on Saturday. And so I think it'd be unfair to rush any player in. And we saw how the Alyssa Thompson experiment clearly didn't work. And that's nothing against her. It's more due to the fact that she literally had three or four caps going into the World Cup. DeMello had won in that friendly game, and she did well, but it didn't work as a team. You have to focus on the entire process. You can't just bring new players in now, which is why, even though I love Bethune, you'll learn about my logic a little bit later for that pick as well. So that's my back line analysis overall. I think that these friendlies have really played a big part in who I'm going to start with. I think Nair's obviously starting and front back line for starters. I think I'll do Nyswanger, Gurma, Davidson, who I thought were the best combo. And then I think I'm going to choose Kruger and have Fox on the bench. But I think, honestly, either are good. I like Emily Fox a lot as well. Actually, yeah, I think I'll have Fox and Kruger kind of flip-flop. They're both great. Although I'm in between them. I'm undecided. I guess I could just say that. I don't have to pick a side. They're both great options for different opponents, especially as well, depending on how Emma will want to build out of the attack. I think choosing either of those options would be great. In the midfield, my starters, aka the people on the roster, I chose Horan, Coffee, and Jaden Shaw. And then I brought Rose and Kat on the bench with Bethune as an alternate. I think for Bethune and Staub, who are great, talented young players, to be able who, funnily enough, were acquired by the trade. Staub was traded to the Chicago Red Stars for the pick, the third pick, which eventually became for Bethune. So it's so funny to see them both on my mock roster here and most likely on the rosters, at least as alternates for Emma. But I think for young players, being a training player, obviously you don't really do anything on the field. It's more about being in the environment, which is why I chose younger players for these roles. Obviously in the goalkeeping department, all the people who have been in the mix have been veterans, so I just chose Campbell because I thought she deserved a nod. But at the end of the day, Bethune is and Staub are both promising players who could be part of this team in the future, even though Staub's a little bit older. So they both deserve that spot. And Kat's done a great job back from injury for Chelsea, getting in good scoring form in that 10. Rose, I has not been as impressed with her lately with the Gotham, but she's getting better every single game, and her connection with Mal for that latter goal in the Saturday match is why I think Rose is so important to this team. Her leadership will be great. Lindsay's obviously the captain, so no explanation needed there. And then Coffee and Shaw are two very, very talented players. I talked a lot about Shaw earlier, but Coffee's that pivot six, great in possession, comfortable on the ball, good on that half turn and distributing to her wingers is what this team has missed, honestly. I didn't include Albert on this roster, and even though I did disagree with a lot of the stuff she disagrees, putting it nicely, I was not very fond of at all of a lot of the stuff she said recently. This, honestly, pick had nothing to do with that. I just haven't been that impressed with her in comparison to players like Coffee and Iran, who she's obviously competing against for that sixth role. Iran's played a lot of that in the recent times, so yeah, that's my reasoning there. And last but definitely least, for the front line, this is what a lot of people are interested in. I chose Mal, Trittany, Sophia, obviously. I then chose Crystal and Alex with Lynn as a reserve. Ugh. This is so gutting. I love Lynn so much. She's like one of my favorites ever. I love Snacks. Now I love the women's game. And she's just an amazing person. I love getting to meet her multiple times through, obviously, Gotham SC. And it's really hard to choose this because she's played, honestly, way better at club level than both of these people, which is why it's really annoying me. But I just think that Crystal and Alex are more established at the international level, and to have these weapons off the bench is great. And I think, even though I would have probably chosen Lynn over Crystal or Alex, to be honest, not gonna lie, based on what Emma would do, I think she would bring Alex and Crystal in for viable reasons as well, because they're both amazing leaders who have a large amount of experience under their belts. So that's my roster. Oh yeah, if I didn't say Lynn is the alternate, that's my roster that I would pick. I was kind of a culmination of my personal opinion over the last year or so of watching this new version of the team that has been brought in from the Twyla Kilgore era to now obviously transitioning into Emma at the helm of the side, in combination with what I think Emma would actually do. And that last pick speaks a lot to that. I think that's going to be the hardest spot of the roster to choose between, obviously, because the front three is kind of set, so it's a weird point in time where it's like, well, we already know who our starters are going to be, who's going to accompany them on the bench, which kind of sounds sad when you say it, but it's also true. Like, we know that these three are have to be the starters in this team, and Emma, I would hope, knows that as well. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We made it under 30 minutes. Yay, first USA episode that I've done that in a while. So thank you so much for listening. Be sure to listen to all of our future episodes. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, because again, we're everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify, Overcast. We're literally everywhere. So just follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next week. Peace out from your host, LDG.